Okay, it's really wonderful to be here this morning to see everybody, many familiar faces. So it's really a very special experience, and what a way to start the time of Slichot and Tshuva, and to really, you know, be the kickoff speaker for these kind of ideas. It's like coming home again, so really very special to me. The topic I picked for today is the power of words, right? Why is the road to Tshuva and Kapara paved with vidui? And what I'd like to do today is to revisit a few very important ideas about vidui and tshuva, and to focus on some very important concepts. We start in Vayikra Perek Tetzayin. That's where we have the avodah of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. So it's number one on page two. So in Vayikra Perek Tetzayin, it tells us about the avodah of the Kohen and Yom Kippur, and this part is really elaborated, right, in the Musaf of Bet HaKnesset on Yom Kippur, where we have the Avodah, as it's called, and that really is a big integration of the Pshat, but especially what we have in the Mishnah, and also a lot of Piyutim that go along with it. But the source is really the Chumash, so that's what we're going to be doing right now. So after the Kohen Gadol has these two Se'irim in front of him, identical Se'irim. One is sacrificed in the Mizbeach, and the other one, V'samach Aharon et shtei yadav, al rosh ha-se'ir achai, v'hit vada alav et kol avonot bnei Yisrael, v'et kol pishayem l'kol chatotam. So what does the Kohen Gadol do? He puts his hands on the Se'ir, that's going to be Se'ir la'azazel. He does vidui. He admits all the chataim of Bnei Israel, right? And after he does that, they send the Seir right down the mountain. So the main avodah that the Kohen Gadol does in relation to the Seir HaMishtaleach, the Seir that is sent to Seir La'azazel, as we call it, right, is to do vidui over this Seir. It's not brought as a korban in the Kodesh, right? It's just vidui, and then the Seir is Mishtaleach. So the question is, what is so powerful about the words of the Kohen Gadol when he puts his hands on this Korban, right, that really helps all of Adat Bnei Israel to be forgiven for their Chataim? Next, right, we see again as part of the Avodah and part of the discussion of what goes on for the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Let's go down to Pasuk Lamed. Right? Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem letaher etchem mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem titaru. So what do we want to achieve on Yom Kippur? What do we achieve by the Seir Mishtaleach and the Avodah that the Kohen Gadol does and the Korban of the other Seir and everything that goes on? It's the idea of kapara. It's the idea of tahara, purity, mikol chatotechem. Which means what we want to achieve on Yom Kippur is to be forgiven for all of our chataim, to achieve a level of tahara, and the words in the Chumash are lifnei Hashem titaharu. What does it mean, lifnei Hashem titaharu? Why do we have lifnei Hashem as so important? And what is this idea of tahara? So we see vidui, tahara, lifnei Hashem are all connected. And not only that, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, what is Yom Kippur? It's Shabbat Shabbaton. It's the ultimate day of the year. It's not just Shabbat, it's Shabbat Shabbaton. And on this special day, v'initem et nafshoteichem, we don't eat. So what is special, I want to focus on, there's so many different things, what is special about this specific vidui on Yom Kippur? What characteristics does it have? How does it help us do tshuva? What really is the nature of this vidui? So if we go, we see that in number two, in Vayikra Perakei, right, we also have vidui when we bring korbanot, right? In Vayikra Perakei, I'm just going to read the last pasuk. V'hayak ye'esham l'achat me'ele, v'hitvada asher chata alea. When you bring a korban, when you bring, in this case, a korban asham, right, you do vidui on the korban, which means you bring the korban, and you have to admit your sins when you are bringing this korban. That's part of the process of bringing the korban. It's not enough to bring the korban, but you have to say something. You have to do vidui for the sin that you committed when you're bringing the korban. Bringing the korban is not enough. So why do you need both of these things together? Again, what does vidui do to bring in the korban? When you bring the korban, by the time you bring the korban, you have also done the process of tshuva, because just bringing a korban without anything in your heart doesn't work. So what is it about vidui, saying the words, that really makes such a big difference? Not only for Yom Kippur, for the Kohen representing Olam Yisrael, but in general, right, when we bring a korban on a regular basis. And we're going to go even further with this idea. What is vidui? And we're going to see who really put vidui on the map that is so central to us. So we're going to number 3, to the Rambam. In his Haktama Lihilchot Tshuva, the Rambam always has, before everything, he has a koteret, a heading, right, an introduction, in which he tells you what everything else is going to include. So here he has an Hilchot Tshuva, mitzvat aseh achat. All of tshuva is one mitzvat aseh. All tshuva is one mitzvah aseh, right? And what is this mitzvah aseh? Sheyashuva chote mechet'o lifnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. You have to do tshuva for your sin, right? It has to be lifnei Hashem, and you have to do vidui, v'yitvadeh. Which means tshuva in general, the Rambam says, has to have tshuva, has to be lifnei Hashem, and it has to have vidui. What we're already seeing, even before the Rambam is going to give us details, is that the language the Rambam uses for all of tshuva throughout the entire year, whenever you do tshuva, is taken from Yom Kippur. Because we have the idea of lifnei Hashem, we have the lifnei Hashem titaru, and that the Kohen does vidui. Now we're going to see this goes even further. Now the Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, the Rav, said that, look, on one hand, it says it's a mitzvah aseh achat. But if you look at the language, what does it seem like? Two. You do tshuva, and you do vidui. So the Rav said, what is this? Tshuva is really balev. It's in your heart, right? It's not really with actions. But vidui is with speech. So that's the maisa mitzvah, right? That's the maisa mitzvah. And the tshuva is balev, meaning you're doing tshuva, you're returning to Hashem. And the vidui part is the actual action of the mitzvah, because every mitzvah can't just be in your head. It has to have a maisa mitzvah. It has to have something that you do to make it a real mitzvah. So the Rav says these two ideas are really just two parts, right? The intention and the intellectual, and also the action part of what tshuva is about. But we're going to see, is there also something else beyond that, right, that really is what the Rambam is trying to get at? What is the Rambam really trying to tell us about tshuva? So we're going to actually read, right, Hilchos Tshuva, Aleph Aleph of the Rambam. Now the Rambam starts right away and tells us, Kol mitzvot shebat Torah, bein aseh bein lo taaseh, which means every single mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's a mitzvah aseh or a mitzvah lo taaseh, im avar adam alachat mehem, if you even transgressed one of them, whether on purpose, bezadon, or bishgaga, kishe ya'aseh tshuva, which means, what is the Rambam assuming? Of course, every time you do a chet, what are you automatically, of course, going to do if you did a chet? Tshuva. Which means, we're assuming, and of course, it's expected. When you do tshuva for all these things, v'yashuv micheto, chayav lehitvadot lifnei akel baruchu. Which means, part of the tshuva process, right, is the idea of vidui, lifnei hakel, which means vidui is not if you took someone from something, if you took something from someone, right, that you tell them I'm sorry. Of course you have to tell them you're sorry. Of course you have to return the item. And of course you're going to give them a whole list of all the terrible things that you did. In addition, you also have to ask forgiveness from Hashem. And of course if you did a chet ben adam lamakom between you and Hashem, of course who do you have to ask forgiveness from? From Hashem. But it's not just doing tshuva for it. You also need to have this formal event, right? Or this component of vidui. And what's the pasuk that the Rambam uses? Shine emar, isho isha kiasu, right? A man or a woman do a sin before Hashem. V'hitvadu et chatatam asher asu. That's the pasuk. Ze vidui dvarim. So here we have a third pasuk, right? We did from the Kohen Gadol, we did from bringing korbanot, and now this is a third pasuk that's in Bamidbar, okay? This is in Bamidbar Hey, pasuk Zayin. And in this pasuk, it talks about doing tshuva, But it's talking about doing tshuva and vidui, maybe even separate from bringing a korban. So we have bringing korban on Yom Kippur, Seir Lazazel comes with vidui. You bring a korban when you did a sin, it comes with vidui. But here we have an example that maybe vidui comes when you want to do tshuva and you don't necessarily need a korban to go along with it. So what would be the message? That vidui is not something that also comes along with the korban. Vidui is something that comes along with tshuva. Now, the Sifrei Zuta, right, the Midrash Halacha Sifrei Zuta, speaks about this pasuk and says maybe that's the idea. That if you do a sin, right, even if it's separate from a korban that you have to bring to do tshuva, that in general, along with every time that you do a chet, you have to do tshuva. And we have this in the Sifrei Zuta. The Rambam takes this idea and really develops it very significantly. Which means we do have midrashim about vidui. As we said, this is defined by the Sifrei Zuta as the idea of vidui separate from korban. Which means if you do a sin, you have to do vidui. But what we're going to see throughout this shiur is that the Rambam, by really defining tshuva as a thing that you do, that you have tshuva and you have vidui along with it, and there's no way that tshuva is ever effective, whether on Yom Kippur, whether during the week, any time during the year without vidui, is really the Rambam's contribution. That vidui, right, is really so central to our understanding of tshuva. Not just that you stop doing the sin, not just that you recognize the problem of the sin, but actually articulating and doing vidui is really one of those things that has to come along every time with tshuva. So let's see. Ketzad mitvadin, how do you say vidui? So what's the word? It's a mitzvah asay, right? So look what we just said. He says, Hilchos tshuva mitzvah asay, sheyashuva chotem mechato lifnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. So what do you have to do every time you do tshuva? Every time. Vidui. Without it, it's not a complete mitzvah, right? Because vidui is a mitzvah asay, which means vidui incorporated in tshuva. Because what do you say about tshuva? It's one mitzvah. Which means tshuva can never come without vidui. So he says, so what are the words you use for vidui if it's so important and you have to do it every single time? So he says like this, Ana Hashem chatati aviti pashati lefanecha. Where are these words and phrase familiar to you from? Ana Hashem chatati aviti pashati, right? The tefillah of Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol. Three times we say it in Musaf, right? In the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, right? This is what the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol said. The Chumash doesn't tell us the words that he said. It just says he does vidui. The Mishnah tells us what are the words he says. Chatati aviti pashati. Chatati, I did, or Bnei Yisrael did, because he does for himself. And he said, shogeg, aviti zadon, right? Zdonot, right? Pashati, a mix of zadon and shogeg, just to make sure we got every single category, on purpose, by accident, and on purpose, by accident, right? It's an interesting category. So what is it? Meaning he's taking the language of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and saying that this is what you have to do every single time you do tshuva, not only on Yom Kippur, but this is the way we do tshuva every single day of the year. Which means we have an unbelievable relationship between tshuva and vidui and Yom Kippur, but every day of the year, and we're going to see how that plays out in our life. And what does he have to say, right? Va'asiti kach v'chach, you have to list all your actions that you did. V'harei nichamti, I regret that I did it. U'boshti, and I'm embarrassed, right? U'le'olam eini chozer ledavar zeh, and I'm not going to do it again. V'zehu ikaro shel vidui. This is the main thing of vidui. V'chol amar belehit vadot, if you do a lot of vidui, right? U'ma'arich b'inyan zeh, harei zeh mishubach. Just like when you say a lot of Sifri Yetziat Mitzrayim, harei zeh mishubach. Also, if you do a lot of vidui, harei zeh mishubach. So what does vidui help you? Why is that mishubach? What does it help you with your tshuva? And not only that, says the Rambam, right? If you bring a chatat or an asham, different kind of korbanot for different kind of sins, as we said, the time you bring the korban, what do you have to say? You don't get your kapara, you're not forgiven, right? So what do you have to say when you bring the korban? Vidui. Because achi yasu tshuva, v'yitvadu vidui dvarim. Which means, again, every time you do tshuva, vidui has to come along with it. Because it says, v'yitvada asher chata aleha, the pasuk that we brought in Vayikra in number 2. And again, even if you get malkot or chayav mitat beidin, he says, until you do tshuva and do vidui, you won't be forgiven. If you took from your friend, again, these are all bolded, right? If you took from your friend, even if you paid him back, until you do vidui, right, you don't get forgiven for it. So the question is, what is so important about vidui? So we're going to do two things. Number one, we want to see how did the Rambam influence other parshanim and other ideas that vidui is so central. Because in the Gemara, right, and in the Mishnah, and in other early sources before the Rambam, especially Rav Saadja Gaon, for example, who is a very big parshan slash philosopher and halachist, right, before Rambam, right, he only speaks about the idea of vidui on Yom Kippur. But it's not a necessary component of tshuva every single day of the year. When you brought korbanot in Beit HaMikdash, you had to do vidui. But it doesn't mean that now when you do tshuva, you have to do vidui. But the Rambam said every time you do tshuva, it's not complete without vidui. So the question is, was the Rambam successful in spreading this idea that vidui is so central? So much so that when we think about Yom Kippur, what is the important component every single time that we say Shmon Esrei on Yom Kippur? It is vidui. What do we do before Yom Kippur? We say vidui. And our question is going to be, right, how did that really develop and how does that really affect our understanding of vidui and of tshuva in general? So I want to look at a few psukim. You're still on the same page. I have a bigger font for myself. So we're doing a few sources that, of course, we've done together many times. But just to go through quickly this different concept with all of them. What was the problem with Adam HaRishon? Right? He doesn't admit. Right? He blames his wife. Number six, what do we see with Cain? Originally, when Hashem says Cain, right, and asks him about his brother, he says, Hashomer achi anochi, he rejects it. But at the end, Pasuk Yud Gimel, what does Cain say? Gadol avoni minaso. And look at the interesting Ramban that we have here. Ramban, Spain to Israel, right, 1194 to 1270. He is very influenced by the Rambam, right, big Spanish school Parshan, and we see something very interesting. I just want to mention one Radak before we go on. The Radak, who comes before Ramban, who's also very influenced by Rambam, we're going to see, and had a very big influence on the Ramban, right? Radak says about this phrase, about Cain, Gadol Avoni Minaso, right? Vayomer Cain El Hashem, Gadol Avoni Minaso. Well, let's start earlier. Right? Rashi says he's kfui tova. Let's just read in the Ramban first. Right? He says bitmiha. Right? Number seven. Gadol avoni minaso? Question mark, according to Rashi and a lot of the Midrashim. Meaning, all these other creatures and everything else in the world doesn't go according to your actions, and that's okay. The avoni if charliton, and you can carry the world, and you can carry everything, and you can't really excuse my one sin, which means according to Rashi and according to the Midrash that he is quoting, it's Cain is responding to Hashem just like Adam did. It's your fault, meaning you can't just adjust this for me. It's not really my problem. Adam said, oh, you gave me the wife, it's your fault. Cain is saying, what's this to you? Of course you should forgive me. Radak explains, and he says the words that he did tshuva. This is really tshuva. When he says gadol avoni minaso, he's doing tshuva. V'hitcharet al cheto, and he feels bad about his chet. But what's interesting is that the Ramban says, now let's read back in the Ramban number 7. The Ramban says, v'hanachon bapshat shehu vidui. Which means the Ramban says very clearly that what is Cain doing here? He's doing vidui. Now what's very interesting is that one of the components that we saw in Ramban that makes something vidui is that you're admitting to Hashem. And what does Cain do here? Right? Cain is doing, right? He's admitting to Hashem. Right? Vayomer Cain la Hashem. So, el Hashem. So this is already very interesting, that the Ramban wants to establish that what Cain is doing is vidui, admitting his sin. That admission to Hashem is the first step, according to the Ramban, of tshuva. And what is he saying? He's doing tziduk hadin, right? He's saying, I agree, right? I'm admitting that I did this terrible thing, and you, Hashem, are righteous. So already in Parshanut, we're seeing that the Ramban is using the language of the Rambam, that vidui, and putting it in already to what we're seeing is going on in Tanakh. Another good example of this is in Shmot Perek Lamed Bet. We're going to 9, and then we'll go back to 8. In Shmot Perek Lamed Bet, when Moshe is davening after Bnei Yisrael did the Egel, right? Vayichal Moshe et Pnei Hashem Elokav, vayomer lama Hashem yechere apcha ba'amecha, asher hotzeitam eretz Mitzrayim bekoach gadol biyad chazaka. What we see here, right, is that Moshe is davening to Hashem, and he's saying, why should you be angry, right? Because Mitzrayim are going to say you didn't have enough power to take them out. Shuv mecharon apecha v'inachem ala ra'a la'amecha, which means retract the bad, which means what the Ramban, what the Chumash is saying here, right, is don't kill them because what are the Goyim going to say? And go back on your, you know, interest in destroying all of Am Yisrael and forgive them, not forgive them, I'm using the wrong word, retract or go back, right, on this idea of killing Bnei Yisrael. And what does it say? Pasuk Yudalet. Vayinachem Hashem ala ra'a asher diber lasot la'amo. Meaning what's happening here? He does retract the evil, and he's not going to kill Bnei Israel. But Ramban asks a great question here. Meaning, when Moshe davens to Hashem, all he says is, don't kill them, because what will the Goyim say? And in the end, what does Hashem say? Okay, won't kill Bnei Israel, because what the Goyim might think. But what's not happening here? We don't see that Hashem is forgiving Bnei Israel. He's just taking away the punishment of destroying them all. So Ramban says something very interesting here. He says, Hine, we're on number 10, Hine bechet hagadol hazeh haya ra'ui Moshe sheitpalel derech vidui utchina. Right? Really, what should have Moshe done? He should have davened to Hashem through what? Vidui. And tchina, beseeching God and doing vidui. So how come he's just saying, oh, right, just don't kill them? What happened to davening for them? What happened to the whole thing of admitting? What happened to everything else? So what Ramban says very interestingly, right, is ki inyan ana chataha amazeh chataha gdola. I didn't copy for you the whole Ramban, but let's go to number 11. What Ramban is saying here is that Moshe first just wanted to stop Hashem from destroying Bnei Israel. Stopgap. The second thing he's going to do, vidui, which means, again, Ramban is using the process that the Rambam has put together for us, that vidui has to take a role in every single time we do tshuva. So the Ramban is saying, first, Moshe just wanted to do a stopgap. That's something else. Just don't kill Bnei Israel. Number two, he does vidui. And how does he do vidui? Through tefillah, because look at the psukim. The next day, vayhimi mochorat, Moshe says, you really sinned terribly. I'm going to go up to Hashem, and I'm going to try to get kapara for you. And what does Moshe do? Lamed Aleph. Vayashav Moshe el Hashem vayomer ana chata ha'am azeh chata'a gdola vayasu lahem Elohei zahav. Which means, so what does Moshe do when he goes up? He says, yeah, I'm doing vidui for Bnei Israel. I'm representing Bnei Israel in vidui, right? Like we see later the Kohen Gadol is going to do for all of Am Yisrael. He says vidui, right? And through this vidui afterwards, what are we going to find out? So Hashem says, okay, right? I'm not going to destroy everybody, and I'm only going to punish the people who actually sinned. And what happens later, right, in Perek Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalid, right, Moshe goes up and actually does the tefillah. And what is the tefillah? V'salachta lavoneinu l'chatateinu unchantanu, right, please forgive us, real forgiveness. And when he asks that forgiveness, what do Bnei Israel do? They take off their jewelry, v'lo shatu ishe dyo alav, then Bnei Israel do tshuva. So we see something very interesting in the Ramban. Ramban is saying vidui is a very important component of tshuva. First, though, sometimes if there's a terrible tragedy looming, you just want to stop the bad deed. You want to make sure, okay, destruction doesn't happen. But then what do you need to do? Vidui. It's an admission. It's an understanding. And then what do? You have to go through the process of tshuva. Meaning then you have all these other components. So the way Ramban really sets it up is that vidui is almost an understanding, an admission that really is your catalyst for doing way more tshuva. Now, what's fascinating is that vidui always has to have a lifnei Hashem component. We saw that earlier with Kayin and Ramban, and we see it here with Moshe. Because, now go to number 8, when Yehuda very impressively admits and says, tzadkami meni, right, that he sees the three items that Tamar is bringing, and he admits, which is amazing that he admits and says, ugh, I'm responsible, right? It doesn't say in any of the Perushim, ugh, he does vidui. Isn't it vidui? Isn't vidui meaning admitting your sins? So what we see very interestingly, vidui just doesn't mean admitting your sins. It's a special component of tshuva that is lifnei Hashem. You're admitting to Hashem. In addition, this idea of the chet. And this comes through very strongly as well. Let's go to number 12. In Shmuel Aleph, and again, we don't have Ramban for Nach. We're going to look through Radak. Right, Rav David Kimchi, he's from Provence, southern France, 1160-1235. Before Ramban, very influential on Ramban, very influenced by the Rambam. But we see here something very interesting. Right, in number 12, we see, when all of Bnei Yisrael are doing tshuva, Shmuel got everybody to do tshuva, Pasuk Vav, or number 12, Vayikbetzu ha-mitzpata, they all come to the mitzpah, and what do they do? Right, Vayishavu maim, Vayishpachu lifnei Hashem, Vayatsumu bayamahu bayamru sham, Chatanu la-Hashem. And the minute they say, Chatanu Hashem, we sinned Hashem, and then Shmuel judges them, Radak says something very interesting. Number one, he says for Vav, Shafchu Mayim, right? They do tshuva, lekaparat avonot. And Vayishpot Shmuel, Shmuel punishes them, each one according to his sin, Kisham hitbadu avonotehem, because they admitted their sins. But look later on in Shmuel, right, number 14, when Shaul doesn't do the job with Amalek, right? When Shaul confronts Shmuel, he says, oh, I fulfilled Dvar Hashem. Shaul says, oh, you know, I really did listen to Hashem. It's just that I also listened, right, to the Am. And then he says again, Chatati, ki avarti et pi Hashem. Right? Sana chatati, forgive me. Turn page. Right? And then again he says, chatati. Va'ata kabdeni na. Now we've done this together from a different angle, but I want to take a different angle about the same thing today. So what is interesting here? Meaning, we've done in the past that when he says chatati, he's not really meaning to do tshuva, because he says, I did a sin, and they said, oh, but the people made me do it. Oh, come daven with me. Show everyone that you really like me. So on one hand, we see that his tshuva is not complete. But none of the mefarshim say here, and especially Radak, who we saw, oh, right, says about Bnei Israel that they did vidui. What is missing in what Shaul says that also is missing the component of vidui, according to what we saw with the Rambam, and it's very clear, even though he says chatati over and over again. Number one, we see late, we're not so sure he changed his ways, if you look at the Radak, because he brought the Korban early before, and now he's all, again not listening to Dvar Hashem. So you need actions. Vidui doesn't help without actions. But what else is missing here in our idea of tshuva? Lifnei Hashem. Which means, what we see, according to the Mefarshim, that tshuva is also about repairing your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just about righting your sin. It's not just about erasing the slate. It's not just about making sure that I don't have this blemish on my record in general. It's also an idea of lifnei Hashem, which means in addition to squaring yourself away with all the people around you, and in addition to making sure that you yourself are trying to be a better person, which you are, tshuva is really about fixing your relationship with Hashem, even during the year, according to the Rambam. Which means, even during the year, when you do tshuva, right, it also has to have a component between you and Hashem. It's not just about, okay, I gave back the money. It's not just about, oh, you know, I'm okay with, you know, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my husband. Everything of tshuva also has to do with your relationship with Hashem, because Hashem is the only one who knows everything that you do and everything that you think. So to make sure that you're squared away, not only because He knows everything that's going on, but your relationship of knowing, right, that you can have that kind of closeness with Hashem that every time you do another Avera, no matter if it's Ben Adam L'Chavero, it distances you from Hashem. And that's what the Rambam wants to really emphasize. Which means Yom Kippur, when it's Lifnei Hashem and Lifnei Hashem, every day of the year has an element of Yom Kippur. It's not Yom Kippur. And also we see something we're going to see very importantly, according to the Rambam. We don't want every day to be Yom Kippur, because we want Yom Kippur to be special. Yom Kippur is like the anniversary of your relationship with Hashem. When Moshe came down with the second set of Luchot, right? And there we have the Slicha and the reconnection with Am Yisrael. So Yom Kippur is our anniversary of our relationship with Hashem. Just like your anniversary with your husband, for those who are you're married, right, is a day that shouldn't just be about presents, even though presents are great, right? And not only about celebrations are great, it's also about making sure that your relationship is on track. A birthday should be the idea that your life is on track. Not just, of course, celebration. Yom Kippur is a type of celebration, actually, but it also comes with this very serious element. And that's what Yom Kippur is. So tshuva, every day of the year, you're going towards that, but really the emphasis is going to be only, right, on Yom Kippur and the Aseret Yemei Tshuva time period. That's when you really focus on this relationship, where during the year you focus on many other things, but this is an important component. And that's why you always remember it, but on Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, okay, this is the time to really, you know, go gangbusters and really focus on this idea. So let's just see again, one more time in Radak and Ramban, this idea of Vidui and Lifnei Hashem, if they're consistent, or no, we just saw a few psukim and it held there, but it doesn't really hold across the board. So let's see with number 16. We're in Shmuel Bet, we're with David, the classic issue of Tshuva. And after the issue of David and Batsheva, we're on number 16. David comes to Natan Hanavi, comes to David, gives him the whole mashal, and then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomar David. I just have to get my sheets. Right, Vayomar David el Natan Chatati LaHashem. Vayomar Natan el David Gam Hashem Hevir Chatatcha Lo Tamut. So, of course, we already can guess and anticipate. What is Radak going to say right here? So let's look at Radak, number 17, right? So what does Radak say? Gam Hashem he'evir, gam l'rabot al viduyav. Klomar, kmo shata mitvade, ken hu gam ken mekabel tshuvatcha vidvadutcha. So what do we see Radak is saying? Number one, what does David say? He says, chatati l'Hashem. First thing, I sin to Hashem. And then he says, Gam Hashem hevir chatatcha. So what does Radak show from this? What does Gam show? That not only did he do tshuva and he did vidui, just said chatati l'Hashem, he did a lot of vidui. What did we say in Rambam? Kol hamarbeh lehitvadot harezeh mishubach. So what is Radak really using? Really the idea of the Rambam, that what is David doing? If David just said a quick chatati l'Hashem, that's not really enough for what David did. What does it have to come with? A lot of vidui, which means for David and what happened. So again, what does Radak say? You see from the language, number one, chatati l'Hashem. He realizes it's also a chet to Hashem. It doesn't mean that David only thinks it's a chet against Hashem. It means he also knows that it's a terrible chet against Hashem, which it is, right? And what else does he say? Because Hashem also accepted your tshuva and your vidui, which means what does Radak want to show? What does tshuva always have to come along with? Serious vidui. How come chatati, 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 chatati of Shaul didn't work? Because it wasn't real vidui, which means he wasn't really squaring himself with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who really knows everything. It's not just what the people think, right? How do you square yourself with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who knows and sees everything, right? Lo tamut. So what does Radak say? Why does Natan say to him right away, right, you're not going to die? He says, Afal pisha ta chayav mita. Again, we're number 17. You are chayav in the death penalty. But what undid your death penalty? That Hashem accepted your vidui and your tshuva. Again, these two elements are so important. But, right, what is it saying? So you're not going to die right now. So you're not going to die a death of Rasha'im. But You still did this sin. And what do we know? Even vidui, right? And even tshuva, for some chataim, either you have yisurim or mavet. So the Navi is saying, you will get yisurim, because it doesn't take it away. But what could you have gotten if you didn't do this vidui and tshuva? death penalty. So that you won't get, but you're going to get terrible chataim and onashim during this lifetime. What's interesting is that the Radak continues with this idea when he speaks about the Perush in Tehillim. Look at 18. 18 is the Perek that speaks about David Tfilah after Natan HaNavi came to him and told him all these things. Which means, again, what are we going to see? What's a very important component of tshuva and vidui? That it's integrated with tefillah. Where did we see that already? When Moshe went up to Hashem, to daven for Bnei Israel, we saw that vidui and tefillah, right, were all integrated. Which means, so now we're going to see that for David to really do tshuva and for it really to be forgiven, or at least for him to be in a new page, he has to integrate all these things. You just can't have one little piece or one little admission. It really has to be this integrated approach. So again, what the Rambam shows us, that this step by step, and this integration of all these elements are really so important. And when we look back at the individuals in Tanakh, we see according to Radak, and we're going to see according to the Ramban, that these elements are so central. So let's read some of the psukim in Tehillim. And then, important for us to see, so how does the Radak understand them? Right? So, what is it? Bevoi Lav, we're on 18, Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph. Lam Natzeach Mizmor Le David. When Natan HaNavi came to him, right, after the whole incident with Bathsheba. So what does David say? He's saying, oh, Hashem, right, you have to have Chen, you have to have Chesed, and Rachamim, and you have to erase my sins. Right? And not only that, I want it to be like going through the wash, that I'm going to be cleansed from my sin, right? And I want you tahareni. I want you to really give me tahara. Where else did we find that idea? In Yom Kippur, in the Pshat in the Torah. Which means David is pretty much saying, even though this happened right after the issue with Bathsheba, and we don't think it's Yom Kippur, right? But he, David HaMelech, is using the concepts of Yom Kippur, right, in order to ask for tshuva. So it's not, it's rachamim, it's tahara, right? It's pesha, chata'a. Right? Lecha levadcha chatati. Now, of course he doesn't mean that I only sinned to Hashem. He sinned to Bathsheba. It was embarrassing, a chilul Hashem also for Am Yisrael. Right? And we saw that the Navi tells him that. We see that the Mefarshim explain that. But the idea of this perek in Tehillim is also to realize that it's also a crime against Hashem. Which means the idea that he separated himself from Hashem also with this, that we see that towards the end of the perek, what does he want? I want you to take me back. I want to have this close relationship with you. Which means the idea of tahara, lifnei Hashem titaharu, and we're going to see the idea of Yom Kippur and the idea of tshuva any day of the year if you could muster that kind of energy, right, depending on where you are, right, is this idea of trying to recapture that closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how do you do it, and what is the mechanism? So again, let's look at Radak. You have it as 19, okay? What are the things in Radak? So what do we see? Number one, and I bolded them out, so obviously we see them very clearly, right? Before I love Natan HaNavi, what does Radak want to say right away? When Natan HaNavi confronts David, what's the first thing David does, and what does he do that sets him on his way? Ki az hitvada va'amar, which means, boom, he does vidui. Chatati la'ashem. But what does he say? In addition to this vidui, what did David need? He needed a tefillah. He needed a way to get close to Hashem, right? That really, not only is the vidui enough, but it's part of this tefillah. It's part of this whole tshuva process. And what does he say in this tefillah? Number one, he says, I'm doing kipsha'ai. Right? What is he saying? He says, I am not acting in a way that I reject, right, your involvement or the fact that I did something wrong. Who is the exemplar of that we brought earlier? That was Cain, right? Cain in the beginning, right, he rejects it only after he gets a terrible punishment. Does he realize that maybe Hashem gave him, you know, a huge punishment and maybe he can't handle it. But what does David say? Klomar shetisa chatati kmo shamarta l'kayin. Which means, what's the message Hashem gives to Cain? He says, halo im teitiv se'et, right? If you do better, I will forgive you. Which means Cain got the chance that if he improved himself, he will be forgiven. And Hashem told Moshe at Har Sinai, when Hashem said to him, hodieni na, when Moshe said to Hashem, hodieni na drachecha, what are the midot of Hashem? Nosei avon vafesha v'chata'ah. Chatati, aviti, pashati. It's the same language, which means Hashem is nose avon vafesha v'chata'a, on purpose, by accident, and a mix of the two. Which means David is saying to Hashem, you owe me. Which means part of our relationship also with Hashem on Yom Kippur, and for David who did this terrible sin, is that we have a contractual relationship with Hashem. Which means Hashem has promised us, right, that He will forgive us if we do tshuva, and if we try. It's almost a special gift, right, that man was given, but we're going to see, and we see from the language here, it's an especially gift for Am Yisrael, which means tshuva all nations have. Of course, they can all do tshuva, but this idea of vidui, and that's why Radak doesn't use the word vidui with Kayin, even though he's speaking to Hashem, because this is a special gift to Am Yisrael, that in addition to tshuva and doing the right thing, a vidui and admitting to Hashem and being lifnei Hashem can repair your relationship with Hashem. Which means, and that is something we have every day of the year, but what day of the year is the lifnei Hashem that we're guaranteed that if we do tshuva and vidui, we get it? Yom Kippur. Which means every day, every year, there's one day of the year we can totally repair our relationship with Hashem. And Radak wants to show even David, who did this terrible chet, somehow, through real tshuva, real vidui, and of course terrible punishments, right, is going to be able to try to reconnect and put together this relationship. What does Radak say? What was David when he did this terrible sin? He was hated. We're in Pasuk Yud Gimel, right? Al Tashlicheni. He was hated. He was despised by Hashem. But tshuva could do what? Can turn around to make you someone who's loved and cared about. We have that famous Gemara, which I have in here, right? We're going to get to it very soon, right? What do we have in the Gemara? That your chata'im that are zdonot could become zechuyot, right? That even a chet that you did bezadon on purpose could become a zchut for you. Not just in the zero column, but in the plus column. How is that possible? Because you've used and you've learned from this terrible sin to transform yourself and to really be constructive with it. What's fascinating about the words of the Radak is that the Radak is using the exact language that the Rambam, we're going to see, is formulating this idea from the Gemara. Which means, at one minute, how could you be hated and despised, and then, boom, you're loved. Now, of course, it's not by just saying vidui, magical words, but this idea that you had this, you know, how about, let's say, deficit or big black spot in your relationship. But if you work on it, then the fact that you had that terrible event, or you had that falling out with a friend, or you had that incident with your husband, or with your sibling, or in with your coworkers, right? So either that could fester, and that's the worst thing ever, or somehow you could talk about it and realize what was the problem, and you really resolve it. Then that problem became a constructive element in your relationship because it made you finally discuss it and work with it and realize, well, I did it because of this. And part of that conversation is not just being better and doing better, which it is, because actions speak louder than words, but you also need words. I mean, we are people of words. Hashem created the world with words. We can kill someone with words. You teach with words, of course, with your actions as well. But our language is so powerful. That's what makes us different. Right? Not only our language, even the conversations we have in our head are so important. And we see that also, which means sometimes vidui doesn't have to be spoken, but if you speak it in your head, it is vidui. Shmoneh Esrei, we don't say the words out loud. We speak it in our heads, because who are we having that conversation with if we just say it in our heads? We're having it with ourselves and Hashem. Of course, when you have to work it out with your friend or your husband or spouse or anything, right? How do you have to speak? Right? You have to say the words because no one's going to read your mind. But this idea of language, whether in the head or conversations or out loud, language is so powerful, right? And that's why vidui, right? The concept of vidui is so important in addition to all the actions that we do, because that differentiates us from all other beings. That differentiates us and really raises our level. If we lose our ability to speak, I don't mean to be mute because they have sign language, right? But if we lose our ability to speak, that usually reflects, unfortunately, that we also lost a very big capacity to think. And that is, again, I'm not talking about people being able to think in their head, but many times that's a reflection. So this idea of the ability to speak and to formulate, right, is so powerful. And one last theme that I want to develop in the Radak is let's move on, okay? Let's look at just Yudchet for a moment, right? V'afal pi shetziva hakel b'korbanot, I think it's on your next page, right? Im havidui vahatshuva lo tziva b'korbanot ela al hashogeg. Aval hu mezid haya ve'ein b'chet ha-mezid korban ela tshuva. Which means if you did a chet on purpose, there are very few korbanot for that. Usually a chatas, you did one by accident, right? An asham is for very specific type of things. Very few things, if you did a chet on purpose, is there a special korban for it. So what does that mean? What's your only avenue? Meaning punishment, you might get malkos and yisurim and other kind of things. But what's your avenue to redress that if you don't have an actual korban? What do you always have access to, says the Radak here? Tshuva. And for the chet that David had, there's no special korban for him to bring to really redress the sin. So what is his avenue to redress? One aspect of it is the idea of tshuva. So we see that tshuva plays a very important role, at least this part of it. There are so many other things in this issue, but we're just dealing with this issue. So what about Haftarat Hoshea? We read it in Shabbat Shuva, and again, I want to speak about the Shita of the Radak. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki kashalta abavonecha. We're on number 20. Kchu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. So what does the Radak say? Look how powerful, number 21, look how powerful tshuva is, right? How powerful is tshuva? Because you can do tshuva, you can do tshuva, and you can get all the way up to Kisei HaKavod. So you see how powerful tshuva is. But how do you do tshuva? So the Radak says, right, I'm not asking for you, from you money or gold or silver, not even korbanot, as we saw. That's why I connected it together with this issue of David. But what do you have to do tshuva? You have to say dvarim tovim. You have to do vidui, the shuvu el Hashem. You have to do words and actions. You have to do tshuva, right? You have to stop doing that terrible thing. And you also have to do tshuva, right? Or he says, achar shetashuvu titvadu lefanav. Or is it that first you do tshuva and then you do vidui? Which means, what's the order? In the Rambam, it says you do tshuva and vidui. Does the Rambam mean first you do tshuva and vidui is the capstone? Or does it mean that they're both integrated? So the Radak brings both possibilities. Is it just an integrated approach? You do vidui and then you do tshuva on it? Or is it really after you do tshuva, because the way the words of the pasuk is shuva Yisrael, and then it says kchu imachem dvarim. Is it that vidui is really after you did tshuva? Which means you understand hakarat achet. You do tshuva. And then when you say, right, when you're speaking with your words, and you're saying, I did this terrible thing and I will not do this anymore, it has more power. Which means the words mean something because you already did the tshuva. So it's not that vidui is your first step and then you do tshuva. Could it be that really you do the whole tshuva process and the capstone is vidui? Because once you say, I won't do it anymore, there is action behind it. What do you mean? You have proof that you have already transformed yourself. So the Radak says, you know, it could go either way. The one parshan who says very clearly it's not in that order is the Ramban. And the Ramban says very clearly that when we speak about Dvarim's Psukim, V'shafta al Hashem Elokecha, let's go now to number 25, right? When we look at the Psukim, right, what does the Ramban say? What's so special about Tshuva? And again, we did Radak. Radak is before the Ramban, very influential on the Ramban. So we have Rambam, Radak, Ramban. Let's just remember that flow, right? What does the Ramban say? Because we have this issue. Does the Rambam mean tshuva then vidui? Is it all together? The Radak we see is really working with both. Vidui then tshuva. Ramban clearly, what we saw with Moshe, said that. So here the Ramban says it very clearly. Let's just look. Why does it say v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha and hamitzvah hazot? Because the Ramban says that b'haftacha ki atid hadavar liyotken. We're on number 25. Third line from the bottom for you. Right? What is the hint of this haftacha? V'hatam lomar, no matter where you are or what time period you're in, right? You could do tshuva any place, any time. And what does the pasuk say? Beficha ubilvavcha lasoto. I brought the Gemara. The Gemara says it's about Torah. Famous, we all know this one. But the Ramban says, beficha ubilvavcha lasoto. You can do it any place, any time. It's all in your control. But look what the Ramban says very clearly. Ramban, right? Sheyitvadu et avonam vet avon avotam befihem. Which means, what is the first step for tshuva? Vidui, beticha, and then ubilvab chalasoto, viashuv ubilibam el Hashem. And then vikablu aleim hayom haTorah lasotah ledorot. So the Ramban is consistent. We saw that the Ramban says that really, vidui is almost like the first step. You admit it. You see it in front of you. It's real. Then you can do tshuva for it. Right? And then many times even the vidui and the tefillah are integrated. What did we see with Radak? Radak many times formulates, right? The vidui comes first also. And then we have this idea of doing tshuva, that it's integrated. But then he says in the end, really, in the Haftarah of Hosea, it says tshuva Yisrael and then kui machem dvarim. Could it be that after you did tshuva, when you formulate, you know, all those chata'im, ashamnu, bagadnu, it's not just saying, okay, now I have to remember to do tshuva. It's been there, done that. I already am past that point. So how do you get to this idea of vidui and tshuva? So if you look at the Rambam in number 26 in Hilchot Tshuva, so how do you get to this tshuva, right? Obviously vidui is part of it, but what is tshuva? So lihiyot hashav tzoek, right? You're screaming to Hashem, which means tefillah, right? Bebchi u'tachanunim, you give tzedakah, right? You do all these amazing things, and that gets you to tshuva. That's the process, which means vidui is also part of it, lifnei Hashem, but of course you have to do the tshuva, you have to do the tefillah, you have to pour your heart out. Now, who is our exemplar for pouring your heart out and davening to Hashem and really giving the ultimate staka, right? She gave the ultimate promise in neder. But what's fascinating is that when we talk about vidui and we talk about tefillah, really we have so many nashim in Tanakh who are our exemplars for this, which means what we find that the process of tshuva, the process of vidui, right, is something that is very close to us. Right, we know that Chana, she pours out her heart before Hashem, Bachot Tifkeh, right, we're talking number 27, right, she makes an Vatit Palel, and look what it says constantly when we speak about Chana, Al Hashem, Lifnei Hashem, Vayishbochet Nafshi, Lifnei Hashem. What we see about Chana is this idea of this total understanding of Lifnei Hashem, and Lifnei Hashem not only on Yom Kippur, but the idea of Lifnei Hashem, that that's the way you have to do tefillah. And we know tefillah is an integral part of tshuva. So our ability to really daven and to really focus on Lifnei Hashem, our ability, right, especially as women, right, that communication and language is very important to us. We're very careful or sensitive to ideas of nuance and what language means, which means for us the idea of vidui and tefillah, right, should really come as something that we should be very aware of. All the nashim in Tanakh are the ones who really bring this realization, whether it's Tamar to Yehuda, whether it's Abigail to David, whether it's Ruth to Boaz, this realization, right, and admitting to be able to really focus on those kind of ideas. We have to really develop that for ourselves as well, not just to pinpoint for others, right, what are important things to work on, but that same ability, not only for us to pour our heart out to Hashem, but even this idea of vidui and admitting to realize how important that aspect of language and tshuva is for us, that should be, and we understand that that's a cornerstone, right, for us especially as well. And what we see for the days coming up, as the Rambam says in number 28, even though we could do vidui every day of the year and tshuva every day of the year, and it's always important every day of the year, but really we can only muster this kind of enthusiasm and this kind of focus, either, unfortunately, if we have a tragedy in our life or if we need something badly, so we can muster it up any time of the year. That's true. But in a time where, let's say, there's nothing crazy pressing, so Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Chodesh Elul and Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and especially the crowning glory of Yom Kippur, is our time to really focus all these energies, which means this is our time to really focus on tshuva, on vidui, on tefillah, on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we see, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just closing everybody else out and thinking of Hashem. If we didn't square away with other people, we can't have a relationship with Hashem, which means part of our relationship with Hashem is caring about our family, our community, our friends, right? Doing the right thing, caring for people who are downtrodden, which means we can't really get to Hashem, lifnei Hashem, without doing all these things and squaring away, which means everything is part of it. It's not like, oh, I only care about young people, my relationship, everything else goes to the wayside. It's all integrated, but it all has to lead to that. And that's why, getting back to the Rambam's words on number 28, tshuva v'tzaka yafa la'olam. You should do tshuva and shedavan to Hashem all year. And of course, ideally, that would be great. But ba'asara yamim, on the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's nicest. And Hashem accepts it even more because dirshu Hashem b'hi matzo. Hashem's with you. There's a big debate. Do you do vidui every night before you go to bed? Do you do detailed vidui? Do you just say Hashem nu bagadnu? Different figurine, different views of what you do. And the final and very popular view is, even if you say vidui, you don't do it in detail. Why is that? Because even though it's a very important thing, part of vidui that we say on Yom Kippur, and part of the idea of the details and the amount of times that we say it, because not just to square away, okay, I want to make sure my day is done and I'm not going to be punished for all these chataim. Oh, I did tshuva for these things. Really, Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur and the idea of tshuva is not just to neutralize everything. It's really to get lifnei Hashem. And that's why on Yom Kippur, it's the time of tshuva, which means this is our anniversary with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is our time to make sure that we have that relationship. And that relationship can only build on a pyramid of all our other relationships. It's the pinnacle. So this is the time to really focus on that kind of experience. And that's why chayavim, according to the Rambam, chayavim hakol lasot tshuva v'hitvadot anyo. You have to. That's your anniversary. That's the day that you have to make sure that you are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to do tshuva. You have to do vidui. You have to renew your vows, so to speak, to use that kind of phrase, which means you have to be renewed again. You have to see your relationship starting anew. And that's why we see so many renditions of Yom Kippur. We saw it in the Pshat, that it's Lifnei Hashem Titaharu. The beautiful Gemara, number 31, that speaks about Yom Kippur as what? That speaks about Yom Kippur 31 and 32. Right, there's donot to zchuyot, but especially look at the end. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says that the mikvah on Yom Kippur is the experience you have to have. And we have a beautiful Ha'amek Davar that says, what is the mikvah for Am Yisrael? Why are the women always responsible for Be'er, Miriam, and why do women love to speak? Because language really controls our environment. The language, speaking, and the tone that you set really sets the tone for the entire environment. And that's why the women were symbolic of Mayim during the Midbar. The women, and especially Miriam, Bizchuta HaBe'er, and Be'er also symbolizes Torah and everything. We make the environment for our families, for the community, for society. So we really also have the ability to really create the environment for Yom Kippur as a time of mikvah, as a time of tahara. We understand very clearly what mikvah is all about. You have to be completely clean. You have to have no chatitza, no separation between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yom Kippur really is, right? Mi metaher etchem, according to Rabbi Akiva, avichem shebashamayim, right? Sharei Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah also says it's a day of tahara. And how do we do that? We have this ability through vidui, right? Through not only cleaning through actions, but also this cleansing through language, through vidui, right? Not only in the physical world, right, by changing your actions and changing your attitudes, but also by language, by making sure that we do have a new beginning, a new slate. We are really repairing our relationship in a way that, by declaring, right, our vidui and by doing tshuva, that we're really setting our sights higher than just trying to make sure that the past is forgiven. We're really setting our future. We're really starting a new date. We're really starting day one again and moving higher in our relationship. We're really trying to advance. So what I'd like to leave with the idea, right, of the Sharei Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that, what is it, mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem titaharu? Al ken hisireinu hakatuv shenetaher lifnei Hashem b'tshuvatenu. And how do we do this tahara lifnei Hashem b'tshuvatenu? Through very specific tshuva, but also through very specific vidui, that we understand that this is our conversation and our actions lifnei Hashem titaru. And as a result, hu yechaper aleinu b'yom hazeh l'taher otanu. If we do our side, and if we develop this environment of mikvah, of tahara, of vidui, of tshuva, and if we put our foot forward for this relationship with Hashem, Hashem's already there, and Hashem is going to give us kapara. As the Ramban also said, it's a haftacha, it's a guarantee, which means we can be so sure of this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if we really put ourselves out, Hashem will put himself out for us.